13. I stared at the signature for a while. The parts about impregnation were getting dangerously Rosemary's Baby-esque to me. Was I supposed to believe that the Green Book narrator had been pregnant with a monster from looking at a statue of monsters doing it? It seemed far more likely that in the year after the book was written, she'd discovered boys. After all, the whole world is full of boys and really short on statues that knock you up. On the other hand, she's screwing the clay doll, right? Foxy broke in. I did everything that I could imagine and much more besides. And the bit about the nurse's face getting red? That's the takeaway here, right? Oh, God, I didn't want to say it, and maybe it's the language difference, but that's the impression I got, too, I said glumly, setting the last page aside. I mean, I think she was 17 at the time, so it was, legal, I guess? Also, the bit where it's made out of, you know, clay, I groaned. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you think she got that from the nurse? Is this a story about abuse? Should we call someone? Bit late for that, I'd say, since everybody's dead. Foxy turned the page. If she was actually running around with human boys and trying to cover it up by blaming a statue in the woods, not arguably the most normal thing to blame it on, then why would she have written it in a book she never intended anyone to read? The Green Book was a diary of sorts, wasn't it? Would she have invented some elaborate code about clay dolls to stand in for boys so that no one would know? It seemed bizarrely far-fetched. Yes, that's certainly much more far-fetched than a teenager getting pregnant by looking twice at a rock. Of course, if she'd been doing things with the clay statue, maybe that had opened the way somehow for a monstrous impregnation. Oh, don't be stupid. This is insane. There's horrible magic things in the woods. Okay, there's a weird-ass hill that's sometimes there and sometimes not there. Fine. But you're reading a book that's badly remembered by a man with creeping dementia, written by a dead teenage girl who is clearly imaginative, weird, and probably abused, and trying to make it fit with the horrible things in the woods, and they probably don't go together at all. I dug my fingers into my scalp as if I could pry the ideas out and make sense of them. The only thing that kept me from pitching the book aside as a waste of time was the description of the stones. I knew those stones. There was one behind the house, for Christ's sake. Cotgrave hadn't mentioned it specifically. I wondered if the deer stone had turned up later, if it was a signpost, as he said, maybe to warn other holler people that my grandmother lived there. Heh. And the white monolith, the monolith with the carvings I couldn't make out, the one I had wanted to press myself against until it grew warm, I couldn't even blame that one on the power of suggestion, because I'd seen it and had the dream before I read the transcript of the Green Book. Oh, Jesus. The monolith. Did this mean I was about to get horrible monster babies? Joke's on you, holler people. I got an IUD in there. Let's see your monolith get past that. I wondered briefly about the girl in the woods he'd tried to warn. He'd mentioned her in the journal, too, hadn't he? But that was 20 years ago, and she was long gone by now. Or at least she wasn't a girl anymore. She'd have to be my age or older. Was that too old to get impregnated by evil monoliths? Why was I even having to think things like this? My face felt hot. Maybe I had a fever, Or there was black mold in the walls and I was hallucinating all of this. Maybe Bongo was still here and I was curled up on the floor giggling while he waited for dinner. In the next room, Elaine Rogers reminded me why we valued public radio. It was a valuable resource in our lives. She seemed to lose the thread for a second and said valuable 3 or 4 times before her co-host cut in. And that clinched it, really. If I was hallucinating all of this, I could have probably cooked up the effigy and maybe Foxy and definitely Kilroy, but I don't think I could have come up with the world's most exhausted public radio manager. Black mold could only go so far. Well, that was some weird shit, said Foxy, finishing the manuscript up. I started laughing, a real laugh, although I won't swear it didn't have hysterical edges. Yes, yes, that was some weird shit, all right. The whole world was teetering on a thin skin over the top of horrific realization. Definitely weird shit. Foxy poured me a slug of whiskey in a teacup. I had actually finished the tea sometime earlier, but that was fine. Better, anyway. You okay? She asked. I am so far from okay that I cannot see okay from here. Other than that, I'm fine. I looked out the door, and somehow it wasn't dark yet, which seemed almost as unnatural as everything else. Do you think that was real? What, the story? She made a complicated shrug that was mostly collarbones and chin. Her bracelets rattled. I expect it was really written by some girl that got mixed up with the Holler people, or whose daddy did, and then they got her in the end. Can they do that? Shit, I don't know. They can make a hog walk around with a wasp nest for a head. You'd think sleeping with a fella was no big deal. I'll tell you, though, I haven't heard much about that out here. Plat eyes, they got them down south a bit, the big things that look like white animals. And there's stories about the devil's daughter coming to a dance, and when it rains while the sun's out, some folks say it's the devil's daughter getting married. She snorted. Course, I always heard that was the devil beating his wife, but whichever. But it's not like back in Ireland or whatever, when it was all changelings and fairy folk and whatnot going around and knocking people up with fairy babies. Maybe they're different over there, I said, if they're even the same thing. Foxy tipped her hand back and forth. Meh, maybe. You got me. We got monsters, sure, but I don't think they're all the Holler people. There's more than one thing in the world, and just 'cause some stories are true doesn't mean they all are. Did I show you the bone? I asked abruptly. Foxy raised a painted-on eyebrow. I dug out my phone and turned it on. I swear I could actually watch the battery drain. I had taken it out earlier to take a photo of the bone on the steps, and then I picked up the bone with gloves and put it in a trash bag and put that in another trash bag and then buried it in boxes of things as seen on TV, which were the least dangerous things I could think of, and threw the whole mess out by the road where the trash pickup supposedly came once a week. I'm not saying that I thought it would do anything. I'm just saying that if something out in the woods is making shit get up and walk around out of bones all tied together with cords, you're real careful with weird bones after that. I wasn't gonna let it anywhere near the baby dolls, for one thing. I handed the picture of the bone to Foxy. The phone was already starting to get warm. Huh, she said, looking at it. That's a bone, all right. Do you recognize it? It was on the front steps this morning. I tripped over it, and that's how I let go of Bongo's leash. I mean, it's a bone. You want to know what it's from? I can't tell you. Probably not a deer. Looks too thick. She handed the phone back, and I switched it off before it decided to catch fire. I thought about Foxy's hog with the wasp nest head. Did you ever hear about one of these things coming up and banging on somebody's window? Foxy shook her head. No, but that don't mean anything. Like I said, I ain't an expert. There used to be people around who might know what it was, and you'd probably be better off with one of them. Problem is, well, you know, people move away, or they die. Their kids go off to get a job, and the farms get chopped up and sold. And half the old-timers are just old men bullshitting and trying to act like they know things. She shook her head. Believe me, if I had somebody I could call and say, hey, bad shit going down, I'd have done it as soon as you told me about the deer. But I guess I'm what we got. I had been afraid of that. On some level, I'd hoped that Foxy had people she could call. Reinforcements who'd come charging in like the Ghostbusters and handle this whole mess for me. I could have stepped back and said, so sorry, above my pay grade, and it would be somebody else's problem. Until I get Bongo back, it's still my problem. Shit. We went into the kitchen and ate more sandwiches because it seemed like a good idea. I was maybe a little woozy from the bourbon, and there is something very non-threatening about a tuna salad sandwich. If I'd had the chance, I suspect I would have eaten a couple dozen of them, just because they were real, and they made me feel like I was real, too. Foxy eyed the staircase. Yikes. You been up there yet? Haven't had a chance to get the stairs clear, I admitted. Doesn't look too bad. Two-man job, maybe. Or two-woman in this case. She pushed the sleeves of her denim jacket up, revealing tanned forearms. You want to move stuff? Right now? I ain't got anything else to do right now, said Foxy. Why? You got a hot date? Well, no. Honestly, I wasn't going to argue with an offer of help. I needed to do something while the things in Cotgrave's manuscript settled into my head, and clearing the way to the second floor would be more useful than playing endless games of solitaire. I got out my gloves and passed her a pair. It wasn't bad. It was easier with two people. I'd lift a box and carry it to my staging area in the living room. And by the time I got back, Foxy would have shoved most of the contents of a step into a trash bag. It took only an hour to break a gap in the wall, and then I pushed my head and shoulders through the resulting hole and saw the upstairs for the first time. There were three doors on the left-hand side of the hall, presumably leading to the bedrooms that made up most of the upstairs. A line of windows on the right-hand side of the hall let in the faded denim-colored light of late afternoon. It was empty. Not completely empty, of course. There was an old clothes hamper in the hallway, with the lid open and an ancient towel dangling from it. There were a few boxes, with the by now familiar cargo of old wire coat hangers sticking out haphazardly. But compared to the downstairs, the hall looked as empty as a minimalist photo. My knees got shaky for a minute, and I had to grab the banister. You okay? Asked Foxy from below. The air bad up there? No, I said. No, I'm fine. It's not bad. I expected it to be terrible, and it isn't. I felt as if I'd been braced for a blow that hadn't come. Well, that's good. She poked her head up alongside me. Oh. Huh. Cleaner than my place. Looks like she kept putting stuff on the stairs to take up here until she couldn't get up the stairs anymore. Well, that's a relief, ain't it? Let's see if the bedrooms are bad. The first one wasn't bad. It wasn't great, mind you, but it wasn't anything like the doll room or my grandmother's bedroom. There was a sort of semi-circle of junk around the door, as if she would open the door, plop something down, and then leave. When the semicircle filled up, she set things out as far as she could reach, but she hadn't systematically packed things up the way she had downstairs. The bathroom was in a pretty bad state. The cupboard under the sink was overflowing with boxes of soap and bulk packs of ancient toothpaste, and the tub was full of clothes in garment bags hanging on the shower rod. The last door was at the end of the hall. I opened it and let out a groan. She'd started here, apparently. The far wall was stacked with boxes like ramparts. The wire coat hangers were snaggled together like metal macrame. There was, I kid you not, a freaking stuffed moose head in the corner. A sea of knee-high bags and boxes obscured the floor, and while I'm nearly sure there was a window on the other side of the room, you couldn't see it from here. "Give you $5 for the moose head," said Foxy. "If you can get to it, it's yours." It's not like I expected to find anything good up here. I really didn't. It wasn't like my grandmother was hoarding gold bars or anything useful. I didn't really expect to see the green book on a reading stand in the middle of the hall. I was just hoping for... oh, I don't know. No, I do know. In a story, if you go through a big, miserable trial and you don't complain much, you get a reward at the end, right? You get the happy ending, or you marry the prince, or you get a pot of gold. And this was a big, miserable trial, and it even had monsters. And my job was to know the shape of stories and help other people hammer them into place. And I guess I thought on some level that when I got to the last room, there'd be some kind of reward for it. I picked up a bag and looked in it. There was a roll of paper towels that had gone yellow with age, 3 cans of Spam, some Christmas lights still in the box, a pile of coupons, and a couple of cassette tapes. Some reward. "Well, come on," said Foxy. "We can get a couple more loads out before we lose the light, I bet." I leaned against the doorframe wearily. What's the point? God, I mean, why even bother? I couldn't believe how depressed I was over this. Then again, I couldn't believe I was still cleaning the place out. I can't sell this place. As soon as I said it, a weight seemed to descend on the top of my head. My chest was already squeezed tight over Bongo, but this was like having a cinder block lowered onto my skull. Because I couldn't sell it, could I? How awful would I have to be to just hand the keys over to someone to live next to a hill full of nightmare stones, with the effigy roaming around in the dark? This wasn't like claiming that the dishwasher ran great or that those stains had been there for years. You couldn't even warn people about it. I told myself I wasn't upset about the money, but damn it, I could have really used the money too. I felt like I would have been fighting back tears, but I couldn't even get up the energy. "Here now, hon. Let's not do that." Foxy put an arm around my shoulders and led me back downstairs. She made me a cup of tea, real tea, not bourbon, and shoved it into my hands, and eventually I calmed down or came up for air or something. A couple tears leaked out, and she didn't say anything about it, and neither did I. "Come on," she said again. "Sell it or not, it's got to be shifted. Even if you decide to burn the place down, I want that moose head first." And I nodded and I stood up, and I carried out that stupid bag with a can of Spam and the cassette tapes, and then another bag and another one. And eventually, we got the moose head downstairs just before it got dark. It's a bit awkward figuring out how to go to sleep when there might be monsters outside. Do you sleep? Do you stay up all night and risk seeing them? Do you turn the lights on to scare it away, or turn the lights off so that it thinks no one's home? I would have liked to stay up, frankly, but I was exhausted. At the same time, I was jittery with nerves, and my stomach was rebelling after the pots of coffee I had poured into it. I had to go to the bathroom about once every half hour. "You're nodding off right here at the table," said Foxy accusingly. "I am not," I said, sitting up. "Then what were we talking about?" About, I tried to remember. "A boyfriend you had, wasn't it?" "That was an hour ago. Go to bed." "I'm too scared to sleep," I said.
"Like hell you are.
Heck, I'm a little afraid you'll fall asleep on the pot like this, but I suppose you'll just fall on the mattress." I yielded to the inevitable and went to bed. I think I fell asleep instantly, but I'm not sure for how long. I hadn't thought to plug in a clock in the bathroom, and anyway, the outlets weren't looking all that trustworthy. Without a working phone, I couldn't tell if it was nearer to midnight or dawn. I was not deeply asleep, but not quite awake, drifting aimlessly from thought to thought, when an arm came through the crack in the door. I would have screamed, but it was accompanied by Foxy's voice hissing, "You wake?"
"No," I whispered. "Well, ye better wake up damn quick, because there's something in the road out front."
I woke up damn quick.
"Stay low," Foxy ordered. "Follow me."
I crawled after her on my hands and knees. She was wearing a bathrobe with either flowers or a giant squid on the butt. I couldn't not look at the windows. I didn't want to look at them, but I did anyway, in case there was something there. There wasn't. We got into the kitchen and stood up.
"Sorry," said Foxy. "It was in the road, but I was afraid it'd come in closer. Up the stairs, quick, you can see it out the window."
She led the way up, the stairs creaking under her bony feet.
"Went upstairs to use the pot," she said.
"You could have used the downstairs one," I said, somewhat inanely under the circumstances.
"Didn't want to step on your head. Also, we ain't so good of friends yet that I'm gonna pee in front of you. Anyway, I got a look at it out the little window there. You can see it better out the one in the bedroom, though."
I didn't much want to see it, but what was I going to do? I followed her into the bedroom, the mostly empty one, which was emptier now that we'd cleared it out, and over to the window. We stood on either side of the frame, peeking around the edges. Moonlight blazed over the empty road. There was nothing there.
"Shit," said Foxy, disgusted. "It must have moved."
"What was it?" I said, although I had a pretty good idea already.
"Dunno, weird thing, on all fours, and then it stood up a few times. Not a person. It was right on the edge of the driveway, like it didn't want to cross the road."
Someone else had seen it too. It probably wasn't black mold. I wasn't crazy, or if I was, it was catching. Oddly, this was not as comforting as one might wish. We waited for 5 or 10 minutes. Foxy adjusted her bathrobe like she was buckling on armor. In the reflected light, I could see that the robe did in fact have giant flowers on it, not squid. This was vaguely disappointing. I wiped my palms on my jeans. I'd taken off my bra but slept in my clothes otherwise.
It just seemed easier. I guess it's gone, Foxy began, and then deer burst from the woods. Three of them, as always, the first two running with their tails flagged high, and then after them came the hunched over one, the damaged one, and oh shit, how stupid am I? It was mostly a deer. I hadn't exactly been wrong, but now that I was really looking, not just yawning at blurry deer charging through the yard, it came into focus. The dark eye sockets, the front legs that didn't quite touch the ground. It wasn't really on four legs. It was running, bowed over with its arms dangling, chasing after the deer. Was it chasing them? Were they a herd of deer, or was the effigy herding the deer, running them through the yard night after night for its own obscure purpose? If it caught one, would it make another effigy like itself? It was not as fast as a running deer, but not slow. It finished crossing the yard and vanished into the trees. The moonlight beat down on my truck and the road and the carport. It hadn't touched my truck. That seemed very important. If it had touched my truck, then how could I ever drive it again? That was the thing in the window, I whispered. I sounded very calm to myself. Foxy nodded. One of them things, she said, like the hog and the raccoon. They make 'em for some reason, but damned if I know what it is. Do you think it's dangerous? I asked, which was also stupid because, Jesus Christ, of course it was dangerous. You just had to look at it to know that. I think it'd try, said Foxy. I don't know how much it could do, maybe no more than a dog would, but dogs kill people sometimes. She rubbed the back of her neck. Fire stops 'em, she offered, but enough fire stops damn near everything, so I don't know as that's much help. I swallowed. Do you think if we burn that one, it'll be over? Foxy looked up at me. The shadows hid her eyes, but I didn't really need to see them. It's possible, hon, she said very gently. But I gotta tell you, I don't think it's likely. Not with the stones up there on the hill and one in the yard and everything. I think there's something going on here. I nodded. I wasn't surprised. Foxy reached out underneath the level of the windowsill and squeezed my hand. We came down the stairs slowly, moving like we'd just come out of a bar and weren't quite sure if we were sober enough to get home. I wasn't tired. I couldn't have had more than a couple hours of sleep, but I was wide awake again. Tea? I said. Yeah, can't hurt. Something banged against the screen door. I nearly leapt out of my skin. Foxy slapped a hand over her heart and muttered, Christ! What is it? I whispered, as if Foxy would have any more idea than I would. As if we didn't both know what it was. The screen clattered as whatever was out there hit it again. We stared toward the door. It was locked and bolted. I knew it was, but there was a window right next to it, looking into the living room, and what if the thing moved 6 feet to the left? It could come right in through the glass. I took a deep breath and stepped forward. Don't open it, hissed Foxy. I'm not going to, but what if it's Bongo? I don't care if it's Elvis and the Blessed Virgin. Don't go opening that door. I won't, which was partly a lie. Because if it was Bongo, I was going to open the door. And if it was something dressed up in Bongo's skin, don't think it, don't think it, don't think it. Then I guess it'd get me too. And maybe we'd be a couple of skins wandering around the woods together. The 10 feet from the kitchen to the front door was the longest walk I have ever made in my life. The screen door banged again. I was about to look through the peephole. I knew it was going to be the deer effigy. I knew it, and I was still going to put my eye to this ridiculous little piece of glass and squint out at it like it might actually be the UPS guy delivering at 3 in the morning. What else could I do? I looked out the peephole. The deer skull grinned at me upside down, and I jerked back just before it slammed its hooves into the door again. I fell over on my ass. Probably it hurt, but I didn't feel it. I just scrabbled backward on my hands to the kitchen. "Is it?" Foxy started to say. "Well, obviously," I snapped. I was mad because I'd known perfectly well what it had to have been, and I went and looked anyway. Foxy didn't hold it against me. She and I crouched down behind the counter in the kitchen, looking over the top at the front wall of the house. Bam! The screen door crashed again.
"Why isn't it coming through the window?" I whispered. "Is it just trying to scare us?" "Shit, what am I, the monster whisperer?"
I looked around the kitchen for a weapon. A cleaver, maybe? Would a cleaver be any use? No, it was mostly bone. I needed a baseball bat or something like that. Was there a baseball bat in the house? Well, I suppose I could try to fend it off with the stuffed moose head. I put my forehead against the silverware drawer and made a noise that wasn't a laugh.
"Stay with me, hon. If you crack up, who's gonna appreciate my jokes?"
There was a loud, final bang, as if the screen was being torn completely off its hinges, and then silence. We waited. A shadow prowled in front of the window, back and forth. It was too dark to see anything but a humped outline with a jagged face. Foxy had her fingers locked on my forearm. We watched, not breathing. Not moving, two small animals crouched motionless while the shadow of the hawk passed overhead. The deer effigy stopped in front of the window for a long time. I heard the tap of bone against glass, and then it dropped to the porch and went away again. But neither of us moved from the kitchen until dawn.